Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
My name is Patty Deptula. I'm an assistant director of public works for the engineering department. One of the tasks I manage is the forming of Sussex County street lighting districts. Last week, for your reading pleasure, I gave you copies of the Chapter 95 street lighting code and the administrative procedures for the code. I hope you had an opportunity to look them over if you have any questions. First, I'm going to give you a brief background on Sussex County street lighting in general. I gave you a couple handouts today. One's the motion and the other's a list of the existing districts that we have in place. Street lighting evolved in 1974 through a county ordinance, which was converted later into our present-day Sussex County Code, Chapter 95. The code allows any suburban community to request Sussex County to help them establish a street lighting district within their community. After a community is determined to meet the suburban community definition as defined in the code, it goes through a petition and election procedures, as also outlined in the code, and our administrative procedures. If they meet these procedures successfully, a street lighting district is formed. The handout that I gave you with the existing street lighting districts shows we currently have 16 districts in place spread throughout the county. They're all served by either by the Delaware Electric Cooperative or Delmarva Power, dependent on which electric service area they're located in. Both the co-op and Delmarva Power have pre-established rates for streetlights that they provide, and the price also includes perpetual maintenance of the streetlights. Some communities actually already have existing streetlights in place when they approach the county, and they're just basically looking for financial help on the end of paying their street lighting bills, and they request the county to take over the billing and just go with what existing lights they already have in place. For those without streetlights, the county requests the power company to provide a recommended street lighting layout for the community to the county, and then we hold a public meeting for the Homeowners Association and present the proposed layout and answer questions that the community may have. Afterwards, the Homeowners Association makes a determination on the actual style and number of streetlights that they want installed. And then we schedule an election, and if it's affirmative, a street lighting district is formed. As you can see on the handout, the existing districts, they vary in the number and type of streetlights, as well as the number of units or improvements each of them have. There's no protocol. It's, you know, basically up to the community. You try to get a feel for what they can afford and what they can't, and they let you know, believe me. Annual assessment rates per unit, as shown on the table, are calculated based on the actual annual rate for the type and number of streetlights in the community and the number of units or improved parcels within the community, because only improved parcels are billed as per the code. Plus, there is a 10% overhead fee charged by the county to set up the district and then provide the annual billing. The billing itself is sent with the tax bills in July every year. I'm here today to ask you for approval to circulate a petition form for the Cedar Creek Landing proposed street lighting district. And I have a larger layout here. If you can see that any better than the smaller one, I hope so. But this subdivision is located on County Road 207, Johnson Road, and Delaware Route 1, northeast of Lincoln. It's recorded in 1993. And is shown on County Tax Map 330-16, parcels 86 through 201. There are 114 tax parcels in the subdivision and 111 improved parcels, so they're almost built out right now. They have 45 existing streetlights in their community, and their Homeowners Association is requesting the Engineering Department to provide petition forms to initiate the process to form the district. I compiled a form and had Vince Robertson look it over, and he approved it, our assistant county attorney. Cedar Creek Landing does meet the definition of a suburban community as defined in the code. The code states that any unincorporated area within Sussex County containing at least 10 dwellings and or business structures whose streets aggregate a minimum of 500 linear feet of roadway and which, in the opinion of the county council, is so situated as to form a unit which is reasonably and economically capable of being improved by the installation, maintenance, and operation of streetlights. Cedar Creek Landing has 111 improvements. Their streets exceed 500 linear feet, and their subdivision will be improved by the installation of streetlights. I have a motion I can present, unless then someone has some questions first.
Any questions?
I'll ask questions after the motions.
Okay,
I was just
read
curious.
The motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council has determined the subdivision known as Cedar Creek Landing satisfies the criteria of a suburban community as defined in Chapter 95 of the Sussex County Street Lighting Code, Paragraph 95-1, and authorizes the Sussex County Engineering Department to circulate the attached petition form for the purpose of establishing a street lighting district as required by Chapter 95 of the Sussex County Street Lighting Code.
Could I get a council member to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the motion read by Ms. Diptula. Are there any questions?
My question, I guess, is really for Mr. Baker. I'm just curious. I'm looking at the names of all these developments. There's a lot of work involved in this on behalf of the county. Is this something that we bear as an expense of the county, or how does this work out? What is the net? What's the bottom line on this?
We do,
charge 10%.
Mrs. Diptula noted, we do receive 10%.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which does help offset our cost, but quite a bit of the cost is actually incurred right now by Mrs. Diptula and the engineering department cost to get it set up. But after it's set up, typically these go on for years, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
There is some recovery. And the cost we incur during the year are mainly the cost of billing mm-hmm. and paying the electric bills each month, and then
keeping
the
records.
It's not a major cost after the first year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The electric companies actually take care of the lights, and
well, they're making their profit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right,
uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
And David, these list here. If she looks at these communities, these are all communities that were built quite a while ago, most of them, and we didn't require street lighting and things like that. Nowadays, pretty much street lighting is
norm.
Yeah. Required. I don't know if it's required, but we typically don't see a new subdivision or an RPC without street lighting. Isn't that correct?
That is
seeing
correct.
Seeing a smile
yeah.
on the president's mm-hmm. face. Are you? Did you have? Is that true?
I'm not going to address the point. If Nobody likes to believe that, maybe.
No, well, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know. Vance has got Mrs. Deaver thinking or something.
I guess I know a lot of developments that don't have lights even today. So it's it's probably neither here nor there.
This is not about your work.
But do we require them now?
I'm just new, and I'm asking a lot of questions.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Lank, and then I can get back to you.
This particular subdivision, the developer installed the 45 lights, because it's quite a few lights for a subdivision. They don't typically ask for that many when they come in as a brand-new district with no lights. They tend to start smaller and then work their way up.
And how many will they have altogether then?
They have 45 right now that they pay for, and one of the main reasons they approached me is they have trouble collecting money.
And this will be billed in their taxes? Or
mm-hmm.
their
and we
taxes?
Can put a lien on the property if they don't pay their bills. So it is a public service. I mean,
public service. That's what I'm asking. You know, I'm just asking what is our bottom line. Is this an expense? So what I'm looking at is in the future, I would hope that people that develop these communities would take care of those expenses so that the county wouldn't be burdened with it.
Well, that's not the case. They pay to have the lights installed if there's costs for, like, the installation of the cable to run from a transformer to a street light. But then once they turn everything over to the Homeowners Association, they become liable for the cost. So that's where the county gets involved. The county doesn't work with the developers on this. It's strictly a homeowners association or a suburban community as defined in the code. Every one of these are a subdivision, except Harbison is a community that you're probably familiar with the layout. They put lights there, and most of it's based on safety issues. They feel they want a presence of light for safety.
Are there any other questions? If not, we will. Yes, Mr. Wilson?
I did have one. I look here at 208 annual assessment per unit. I see as much as $70 difference in some of those units. Can you tell me why that's?
Yeah. If you look, some of them have anywhere from 16 up to, I think, 34 streetlights. Some of them have anywhere from, I think the lowest is 27 units up to, 136. So depending on the number of streetlights that they have, the type of streetlight that they have, and the number of improvements that are billed, that determines the actual cost. So if they have less lights and more units, the costs are lower.
Well, I tried to figure that, but then I look at Hudson Pond, who has only 34 compared to one that has 41, 28, and the other one's $60 more that has more.
Yeah, Hudson Pond has
so
eight lights.
I don't jive there.
Well, you got to look at the difference in cost, too, based on Delmarva Power and the electric cooperative. There are differences in the rates on the type of lights that they charge.
Now, this is the tax that we charge them ourselves on each light.
No, this is per improvement. Per improvement.
Mm-hmm. Per each home.
Per year.
Per year. That's mm-hmm. what we charge. Well, what difference does it make what the electrolyte company charges to put the lights in? Where's our difference assessment here? Where's the difference?
Each year, we take the bills that actually come in and total them together and then bill for the coming year. So it's really billed a year in advance. Does that make sense? I mean, see what I'm saying? what we do, we get all the bills. Okay, we get an estimate together, and we say this is what it's going to cost for a year. And it's basically an estimate. In advance.
I mean, the light company pays for this, right? Don't they put this in, or whoever?
Yeah.
They take care of their own expense, correct?
Right, I mean, but they send the bills to the county, and the county then pays them.
Doesn't pay the light bill.
Yes, we do.
That's what you're paying.
And then we bill.
I thought we were paying the just assessment on the light itself.
No, we pay the electric bill.
So we pay the actual electric bill, and then bill the improvement owners.
And you work with the homeowners associations
okay.
like you have
I
now.
Why are we paying late
yes.
bills? I thought we were just assessing them for having the lights.
Yeah, it's a lot of bookkeeping, a lot of work.
Yeah, we pay it
tax.
Monthly.
It's a user. I mean, they're getting they've used it.
In other words, this light probably is good for 3 or 4 homes, must be.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you can see some of the differences based on the number of units the total amount is being mm-hmm. divided into. For instance, you've got the number 2 Oak Meadows with 25 lights, but it's divided over 136 homes.
Right.
So it's a little bit lower than the one down, say, Fox Hollow. It's got 23 lights, but it's only being the cost of running those is only being divided by the 67 homes. So it's $41, a little bit more. And as you say, the type of lights and who is servicing them. We have a motion on the table for just the Cedar Creek Landing proposed street lighting district. Is there any further questions before we take the vote? If not, we'll vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Ashman?
District, Georgia.
Could be.
United States of America.
Good afternoon. I'm here before you today to request permission for the Sussex County Engineering Department to prepare and post notices for the expansion of the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District to include one parcel. We've been working with Dawn Hudson of the Constable's Office on apparently a hardship case, as the existing home was burnt to the ground and a newer mobile was placed on that lot. Once the mobile was in place, when they went for their connection, they found out that the existing system was on an adjacent property, and DENREC would not allow the new residents to be connected to it. We basically heard of this situation back in January of 2008, but there were some ownership issues with the property, which, according to the constable's office, have since been taken care of. The property is contiguous to our sewer district, and there is a connection available in Honolulu Road. The expansion will consist of approximately a half an acre, and the parcel will be responsible for system connection charges of $5,828 based on rates July 1st, 2008 till June 30th, 2009. We have received a letter from the property owner requesting the parcel be annexed. They have been annexed into the town of Frankfort so that they can have water, even though they're not in the town limits. Basically, the family is living, they're basically stating themselves as being homeless. I'm not sure exactly where they're living now, but they're commuting back and forth, and they're saying this is a great hardship on them.
And does the council have any questions for Mr. Ashman?
How much you say we can hook it up for? What was the cost?
System connection charge in Dagsboro is $5,828.
$828.
And I know that they've been working with our utility billing department for some possible financial assistance.
Will that pay our cost?
That basically covers our cost, yes, other than what they'll be assessed annually.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Ashman? Do you have a motion, Mr. Ashman?
I do have a motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on a recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, authorizes the Engineering Department to prepare and post notices for the extension of the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District boundary to include the Custis parcel as presented on April 28, 2009.
I'll second it.
You'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion by Mr. Wilson, second by Ms. Deaver, to approve the motion read by Mr. Ashman. Are there any further questions? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Ashman.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank the public for their patience. We have two public hearings, four public